Guest of the afternoon is W.F. Logan, William Logan, and he is here to talk about his novel, The Gothengal Colony. William, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. William, if I may, I'm going to start with your story, as you've had a very interesting life. I believe you're actually a local lad born in Salford. Is that true?
That's right. First place to live was Mulberry Court.
Were you living in Salford to a great age, or did you move when you were quite young?
Well, I sort of moved out when I was about 12, I think, something like that. I was going to Buell Hill, and I moved up to the Shetland Islands. And then when I was 15, I came back down, and I went to Pendleton College, which is basically just over the road from Buell Hill.
Uh-huh.
And, then I lived in Salford another couple of years before I moved to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Before I moved to Cambridge, yeah.
Okay. And have you been back in more recent times to see the new Salford, full of apartment blocks and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, I have. I mean, they look nice, but really it's all just cladding, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the very unfortunate thing about it. Now, as you say, you went to Israel, and I think you worked on a kibbutz. That must have been enjoyable.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and that's where I got a lot of the a lot of little stories that I put in the Gothengal Colony. Because there were a lot of people who had been through Nazi atrocities themselves. Mm. who were quite old at the time.
Yeah,
they died since, obviously. I got a good first hand experience of what it must have been like from them.
Mm. And I read that also when you were in Israel, you had a bit of a nasty accident, being hit by a car on a crossing point. And that when you woke up in hospital, you could speak Dutch and Yiddish that you couldn't speak before. Is that right?
Well, I couldn't speak Yiddish before, but I could speak Dutch because I lived in Holland. And it was only maybe about a year after, and I just woke up speaking. Because when you get knocked out and you wake up, you're not really quite right.
You know,
it's not like in the films where people hold your hands and everybody says, "Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?" No, sometimes people have to be tied to the bed.
Wow.
But fortunately, I wasn't. I just spoke Dutch instead.
Oh, well, that sounds better. Rather than to be tied to the bed, that's for sure. And something also found very interesting, that you had an interview with the Israeli spy agency, the Mossad. What was that like?
Well, that was weird because obviously I didn't see it in the advert. You know, they phoned me up and they said, because I was speaking to them in Hebrew, and they said Mossad, and I thought, this can't be right. And she said, no, go to a computer, type in www. It's like, oh, that is Mossad. Oh, right. Yes. Okay, so I went for an interview at some anonymous building in Tel Aviv. And it was in sort of like a bomb shelter section of this tower block.
Wow.
And I had an interview with a woman, and then I did a test.
Uh-huh.
There were about 8 or 10 of us. But they said, we'll call you next week. And they did call me next week, and I didn't get a second interview.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, I mean, they're very serious people, aren't they? That must have been quite an experience.
Yeah, I think it would have been. It would have been.
So turning to your book, The Gothengal Colony, I mean, that's situated in the Crimea in Ukraine, so that's very topical.
Yeah, but that's kind of a coincidence, because I started writing it. Well, you know, Ukraine's always been a bit of a hot potato, really, you know, ever since like before the 19th century. I looked into it, and, you know, it's been through a lot, the Ukraine and Crimea. And but it's great farmland. The Soviet Union used it as their breadbasket, and in my book, the Third Reich are using it as their breadbasket. Because this is their plan, Master Plan East. It was secret back then. But it was their plan to have three super colonies in the Baltic and one in Crimea, to really just basically put an end to the Soviet Union.
Mm.
I found this when I was researching. I just found it and I made a story out of it. There's basically a lot of facts in there, and a lot of real people, and I've stitched them all together into a story that hopefully is not the kind of thing that everybody's seen before.
No. And have you said that you were inspired to write the book after visiting a castle in Heidelberg?
Yeah, well, it wasn't the castle in Heidelberg. That's kind of a ruined one, but this is one called Wevelsburg Castle, which is where the SS had their spiritual centre. and I've never really heard much about this either when I was researching into it. They had their spiritual center there. So there were lots of mystical meetings. There's a room in which King Arthur and his knights will gather one day.
Wow.
They held meetings just before with all the senior Red Death officers before they started invading Russia. And they had birth and naming ceremonies and marriage ceremonies there as well. And it was all like Nordic gods, you know, your Odins, your Freya, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And so the plot of the Gothengal colony, that starts, I think, with a terrorist or rocket attack on Berlin?
Yeah, yeah. So it starts, the opener is basically a helicopter attacking attacking a rocket launcher in Siberia. They have to get out. Our hero, Conrad, jumps out. He's a giant. He's like 6'10". He jumps out, and he makes sure that everybody's gone from this rocket. And then there's the last Soviet soldier grinning at him as he's holding the suicide launch lever. And he pulls it down, but just as Conrad is about to shoot him, the gun jams. So he gets blown off his feet, and Berlin is lost.
Yeah, and then the main character of the book is an Amish man from Alabama, Conrad, and Henry was sort of like he became a soldier farmer in the Ukraine.
Yeah, because soldier farmer is not something that's actually a surprise to me. I don't think a lot of people have heard of it, but I was married to an Israeli. I've got a couple of Israeli kids, and when I married my wife, she was in an army unit that was a soldier farmer army unit.
Wow.
Yeah, they had units living on like a desert border by Egypt, just so that they could say that people were living there. You know, you've got soldiers living there growing chilies and whatever you can grow out in that kind of environment. And I was really surprised to learn that the Nazis had the same plan.
And of course, the premise of your book is slightly different from some of these other alternative histories that we've seen, where the Germans actually win the war. But in your scenario, I mean, Britain and the US just didn't fight the Germans. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Because I think that was actually one of the things I found in history. A lot of stuff was aligning for Adolf Hitler to go up and lead the Germans against the Soviet Union, destroy the Soviet Union while he was still quite young. But he turned around and bit the hand that fed him.
Yeah.
So things turned out differently. This is my take on what would have happened had that just gone the way that some people wanted it to go. And you see the end of basically the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, whatever you want to call it.
And of course, as you say, you put real characters into this. I mean, and part of the thing was, the king was collaborating with the Germans, I think, in your book.
Well, he actually was. He had dinner with Hitler, Christmas with Hitler, I believe. He used to hang out with Nazis in France. He had to be warned off and was he given some job in Bermuda, so to keep him right out of the way.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there are lots of things that have come to light. Since I wrote that book, that he was, you know, really, there's a book called The Traitor King. And, I've heard earlier in my life that he would have been installed as a president.
Oh, wow.
If they'd have taken Britain.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether he would. But in this, I just made him keep the job. You know, why should he give up running the British Empire for the love of a thrice-divorced American?
Yeah. And of course, the Gothengal colony is a very involved book, and I think was it 7 years that it took you to write it?
Yeah, it took me more than that. It's taken me about 10 from thinking about it to publishing it in the summer. I spent a lot of time on it. It's the thing that I've put the most effort into in my whole life,
uh-huh.
And I've put effort into quite a lot of things,
uh-huh.
But not on this sort of scale and dedication and. The sheer going over and over it again and throwing it away and doing it again process is one I'm only used to when I'm doing, you know, I like cooking as well.
Oh, right.
But that's, you know, if you cook and it goes a period of more than a couple of days, then it you don't get that very often.
No.
You have to be pickling or making Christmas cake or something. This took me ages.
So 7 years in the making for the Gotham Owl Connery. Are you working on another book? Do you already have other ideas?
Yeah. I'm working on the next one in the series, because, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, at the end, there's a surprise ending. I'm not going to give it away.
Of course not, no.
Surprise ending. But, it leaves it open for other things to happen. So I've already got an exciting opening chapter written where Prince Arthur, because we've got a Prince Arthur in the next one, and Prince Arthur is on an aircraft carrier at the first nuclear explosion in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, wow.
And when the mushroom cloud bursts open, a rocket capsule comes through the cloud and then parachutes open and it's huge swastikas on the parachutes. And then it lands on the deck and bounces up to him, and an astronaut comes out, but you don't see who it is until the last minute, because, you know, if you've read, you read the book, so, you know there's an astronaut in there. But who is this person who's just come out of the rocket in front of Prince Arthur?
You know what, William, I think this would make a really good series on Netflix or something. It's got that sort of feel about it to me.
Yeah, to me as well.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
If anybody's listening.
Yeah, Netflix or Amazon or something. Yeah, it'd be perfect on there, on one of the streaming services.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I really had in mind. You know, I've just been thinking in visual terms. Uh-huh. And, very visual terms, even when I sort of designed the book. And I did it with, like, joining dots to other dots and doing a lot of maths on it and coming up with a plot as a result. Okay. Yeah, so it's been very interesting, and I'm looking forward to publishing another couple of these, and I'd like to get the awareness out there so people know about this story.
Yeah, well, I'd certainly like to read another book, and I hope other people do pick up on it as well. William, I think the Gotham Owl Colony is a very interesting book. I wish you every success with it, and thank you so much for making some time to talk with us today.
Okay, could I just ask anybody who wants to follow me? It's at WF Logan Author on Twitter.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay, thank you, William. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Joe.